faithfulness. Last week we preached on the faithfulness of Moses. And tonight I just want to look briefly at a mighty man of God. Bible says, besides Christ Jesus, there's not a better man live greater than him. And that's John the Baptist. Bible says there's not a prophet greater. There's not a man greater to live than John the Baptist. That's what the Bible says. He said, but ye that are in the kingdom of heaven. So tonight I want to look at John the Baptist and his faithfulness tonight. And I won't take you all your time, but I want to look at this tonight, the faithfulness of John the Baptist. As I go through these faithful men and women that are faithful to the Word of God, you know what tonight? God is looking for faithfulness. He is. He's looking for faithfulness tonight. And I promise you tonight, no matter what trial, no matter what you go through, you remain faithful in what God's called you to do. And I promise you, He'll reward you. He's not slack. He knows what He needs to do, and He knows how to do it tonight. Matthew chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Matthew chapter number 3, and in verse number 1, the Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out into Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. I say tonight, a man, woman, boy, or girl does not need to be baptized if they've not confessed their sins and asked Jesus Christ to save them. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am unworthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff, which is with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Father, we do love you and we do thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for your folk that's come out tonight to learn a portion of your word tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Lord, tonight, what a privilege it is tonight to stand and open up your word and look at people that are men of God and women of God that are faithful. Lord God, we can look at that tonight and see people that are faithful unto your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, tonight I pray, Father, that we be found faithful at this local body church. Lord, I thank you tonight for little Bentley, Lord God, that 12-year-old that come forth and was baptized tonight, already confessed his sins and ask you to forgive him. Ask Jesus into his life. And Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray you be on whatever prayer request that was mentioned. Watch over them tonight. Bless them tonight. Have your will and way in this service. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. I thank you tonight for the van ministry that you allow us to run. And we ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come, we're going to look tonight at the faithfulness of John the Baptist. John the Baptist remained faithful in his role of announcing the coming of Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, we too must remain faithful in what God has called us to do. And what has he called us to do? To let the world know that Jesus is coming back one day and that we must be ready. And we must be ready for his return. We must be ready and be telling the world that Jesus Christ is coming back. You say tonight, how was he faithful tonight? How was John faithful in what God had called him to do? You know, he had a mom named Elizabeth there, and he came forth, and the Holy Ghost in her womb, he leaped, being filled with the Holy Ghost. He was a forerunner before Jesus Christ. He was going to be one that come and prepared the way and told that Jesus would be coming. And you say, what kind of job is that? Is that a good job? I say to you tonight, he had one of the greatest jobs there was. was. Hey, telling people that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And you say, how did he remain faithful? And how can you remain faithful tonight in your Christianity and how you follow Jesus tonight? That's a key question tonight. That's the million-dollar question that needs a million-dollar answer. How do we stay faithful in our relationship with Christ Jesus? There's so many people dropping out, getting out, burning out, giving out. Tonight, out is out. And I don't want you to get out tonight. I don't want you to burn out. I don't want you to give out. I don't want you to get out. I want you to stay on fire for what God has called you to do. And I want to give you a few areas tonight I see in the Word of God how you can stay faithful as John the Baptist did. I see number one tonight, he was called to announce. He had a calling that's on his life. I believe tonight that anybody that has been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, they've never been saved to set on a pew. You've been saved and you got a calling on your life, and that is go out and spread the name of Jesus Christ. Look with me tonight, if you will, in verse number 2, if you will, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I see, number one, he was called to announce. He had a purpose on his life, and his life was this: to go out and give the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me tonight to Luke chapter number 1, I want to show you this tonight, what the Bible says about John the Baptist and the purpose that was on his life. I see tonight in Luke chapter number 1 in verse number 77 tonight, talking about that call to announce, to go preach in the wilderness, to go out and share the good news. He had a calling on his life to announce what God had done in his life and what he could do in another person's life. I see tonight the purpose of God in verse number 77. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 1 in verse number 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sin. You know what John did when he came on the scene? He said, I want you to repent and be baptized. He said, I want you to be baptized for the remission of sin. He said, I want you to bring fruits that meet that repentance. We want you to come and we want you to identify who you're with tonight, that you're with Jesus Christ. He had a purpose of God on his life. In verse 77, in verse number 79, I see the power of God on his life. Hey, can I say to you tonight, if God's called you to do something, not only will he put that purpose on your life, but he'll give you the power to fulfill it in your life. Look what he said tonight in verse number 79. The purpose was to go out and spread it, and the power was this: to give light to them that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. When John came on the scene, he had that in his life, the purpose of God, the power of God, and he went out and spread about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 78. Though the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high had visited us. Here's what John was saying, and you look in here tonight in Luke 1:77 and Luke 3:5. As you go through the Bible tonight, he wanted to go share that light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You said here in Luke, preacher, he's talking about Jesus. Hey, what was John doing? He was talking about Jesus. He had a purpose, he had power, and he had a promise to go out and tell the ones that were in darkness that there was a light that was coming that was shining in their life. Today, this evening, we was at home, and Ryder's got a little flashlight, and in the house, he'll turn that flashlight on, man, he'll look up the walls, he'll look all around, because it's a little darker in there. And every time we go outside and he cuts that flashlight on, he'll come over and say, Daddy, it needs batteries. Daddy, it needs batteries. And I say, buddy, it don't need batteries. It's just not dark out here. You can't see your light. Friends, can I say to you tonight, the darker it gets around you, the lighter your light will shine. Amen. That's just the way it is. And John here, he went to a place that was dark, and he was a light that was shining. I see he had a call to announce, but I also see that he was concerned to announce. Now, there's one thing to have a call on your life and be concerned about it. I know a lot of folks got a call on their life that ain't got a concern in the world about it. They're walking in misery. They're miserable. And they don't know what's going on. They don't know why everything in their life is so miserable, because God's put a calling on their life and they're running from it. And when you know God's put that calling on your life, until you finally surrender and say, God, here I am. I can't do nothing else about it. You take me, use me, do what you want to in my life, then you'll have peace. I see his call to announce, but I also see his faithfulness to be concerned to announce. Look with me tonight, if you will, in verse number 2. He said, preacher, what did John announce when he come on the scene? He announced, but what was he concerned about? The only thing he was concerned about was that people would repent and call on the name of Jesus Christ. Look what he said tonight in verse number 2. And here was his message. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the same message we preach today. It is no different message. The message doesn't change. Paul said, in Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 6 through there. If anybody preaches any other gospel, if there any other gospel preached, let him be accursed. Friends, tonight I'm telling you there's only one gospel, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to be faithful to that, you got to have a calling on your life, and you got to be concerned about it. And you got to know the only way people are going to come out of that darkness is if they have a relationship with Christ Jesus. He said he's concerned to announce. And here's what he announced. He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look what he said. Not only he repent, he's told them to repent, but he wanted them to prepare the way. He said, I've come to prepare the way for you that you may see the light. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, here it is, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Tonight I want to give you this. Not only did he want them to repent, and only he wanted them to prepare that way and get ready for what the Lord was going to do, but he wanted them to be on the straight path. He wanted them to be on the straight path. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 3. He said, make his path straight. That path, he was making it straight when Jesus came on the scene. He wants to make it straight today. Jesus wants us to be straight. He wants us to be right. The wide path leads to destruction, but the narrow gate leads to heaven. Can I get an amen? The Bible says tonight to straighten that path. John was preaching repentance, and he was preaching a gospel that was straight. Friends, tonight, listen to me. There is no wide way to heaven. It is a straight way. It is a straight way. It's a narrow way. And few that find their way in, few that find that way, it is straight. It's not this wide. You say, yes, it is, preacher. No, it's not. John preached it. Jesus preached it. We're preaching it. It is a straight way. You say, I don't like it that straight. Tough. That's all I know what to say. Jesus said it. It's got to be that way. Here's what the Bible says. I want to give you this. Matthew 7:14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that be that find it. What life are you talking about, preacher? Eternal life. Few people find that way. Few people find that way. He said there's a lot on the road, but very few on the narrow road. You say, how narrow is that road got to be? I'm telling you what. When you get a relationship with Christ Jesus, I promise you this, it'll get narrow. And the closer you get to Jesus, the less people you're going to see on the road with you. You may not believe that. When I first got saved, all my acquaintances were still around me. I didn't lose the one when I first got born again. You know why? Because I'd just been saved. They didn't know there was a change. They hadn't seen a change. They hadn't experienced a change in my life. They ain't seen nothing. But as I got walking in that word, Brother David Barnes, and I got closer to what God's called me to do and stuck to what he wanted me to do and announced that you must repent, you must turn, you must do this. Friends, and I, if he called me to repent and he's called Hagen Scott to repent, he won't let Natalie get by without repenting or anybody else. He won't let you do that. And you say, what is it, preacher? When you get on that narrow road and you start walking that narrow road, they'll start falling off to the right and the left all the way around you. You're too narrow-minded. You're too narrow-minded. You're one of them Jesus people. You're too narrow-minded. Hey, I can do all this and still go to heaven. Your Bible don't teach that tonight. Your Bible don't teach that tonight. He said it's a straight way. And we get on that straight way and we follow Jesus Christ. He said, I can't be straight, preacher. I'm crooked. You get with Jesus, you'll straighten up. Can I get an amen? Hey, I'm telling you what. You will try not to wrong nobody. You'll try to do it right. You'll try to do it this way. You'll try to do it that way. The other day I come in and Kaylee was saying something and I hollered at her. And man, and she went to her bedroom and she come back out. And I said, come here. She come over her head. I said, I'm sorry for hollering at you. She said, well, if you'd have listened and just listened to me. See, a lot of times I just don't listen. But you know what? God, sometimes he's trying to get my attention and I'm just not listening. John the Baptist said this. He was called to announce. And he was concerned about what he was announcing. Friends, tonight, can I say to you, if you walk that walk, your crowd's going to get smaller and smaller. Jesus' crowd got smaller and smaller. The multitudes gathered around him, and you know what he told them? You know what, when they gathered around him, he rebuked them. He rebuked them. John the Baptist is fishing, calling vipers. They're coming out. They're coming out by the handfuls and the grove, and they're coming in, and they're coming in. This place here will be packed on Easter. This place here, some Sundays will be packed more than others, but you'll preach a word, and I know some of our faithful will be thinking, what in the world is he preaching that for? Because God laid it on him. And you know what that'll do? It'll divide. That same word that'll draw you, it'll divide you. It'll divide you from the crowd. That same spirit that draws you to be saved will be that same spirit that will divide you when you get on that straight and narrow path. He not only was he was called and had that concern, but tonight I want you to get this. He had courage to preach that word, to preach that truth. To preach the truth, you're going to lose people. You're going to offend people. But you know what tonight? I'd rather lose people and offend people than offend Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm going to have to stand there one day, and never one of y'all will be with me. When I stand before him, it's just me and him. It's just me and him. Nobody will stand with me. And every word I preach behind that desk, I got to give an account for. And let me give you this tonight. Let me show you the courage that he had. He said not only is it straight, he said not only he called to announce, he was concerned to announce, but he had a courage to announce the gospel tonight. Look at this tonight. Look at his appearance. I want you to get this tonight. He said this, and the same John, he was the same everywhere he went. He didn't preach repentance here and didn't live it out there. Everywhere you've seen John, he was the same. Boy, is that not a testimony? You're talking about courage no matter where he went. Could you imagine tonight if he walked in here with camel's hair? His raiment had camel's hair about him. Had a leather girdle about his loins and he come in here and had locusts and wild honey hanging off his beard. Can you imagine him tonight? Had run him out of the church. Amen. Oh, John come in. And you know what he did? He had courage to announce. Look at his appearance. He was the same everywhere he went. He didn't matter who was around. He preached the gospel and he stood on the truth. Here's what he said. You see his appearance in verse number 4. But look at his area that he had preached in verse number 5. He didn't go out where he didn't supposed to be. He was right where God had him to be. Then went out to him in verse number 5 to Jerusalem and all Judea and the region round about Jordan. I see he was courage to announce in his appearance. He didn't change. And in his area, Jerusalem, Judea, and Jordan. Folks, tonight, no matter where you go, you be the same. You be the same. No matter where you go, you be the same. You just be the same everywhere you go. I'm loud everywhere I go. Today, Brandy told me, said, that's paper thin walls. And I mean, I was a lot quieter than this. She said, it's paper thin walls. You don't have to be. Everywhere we go, she says, you don't have to be quiet. My mama, Shirley Kay, we didn't be quiet, did we, mama? I'll never forget when I was a kid, man. I'm telling you, I'll never forget when I was a kid. All the other boys in the community, man, there's about 20 of us. They had kids over there left and right, about like we are here at Union Chapel. Can I get an amen? Man, I'm telling you what, my mama tell us, all of us boys been there playing basketball. She said, y'all don't get out of hollering distance. You make sure you can hear me, man. We go to Hamilton. We can hear her holler all the way to Hamilton. Why? Because we could just move. You know what I'm saying? When John come out, he didn't whimper down. I'm telling you, he preached the gospel. He wasn't no sissy. He wasn't like that. He preached the word. He got your attention. He called on the name of Jesus. He pulled from heaven, and he said, you must repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He had courage to announce it. Man, I see preachers all the time. Ain't got a bit of courage to stand up and just let it eat. His appearance and his area. Get this tonight. Jerusalem, Judea, and all of Jordan. But let me show you his arena. He said, here's what's going on. He said, here's my appearance. Here's where I'm doing what God's called me to do. And here is the arena that I'm working in. Look what he says here. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, Brother Les, you and I know this well by a lot of thoughts. The Pharisees, we know who they was. Self-righteous folk. Man, they could tell you everything you've done wrong, but they ain't done nothing wrong. You ever seen somebody like that? And then you had the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why they were sad, you see. You see what I'm saying? They had no hope. They thought it was over. So here they come out to where John is. He's not had no schooling. He's not been to seminary school. He's not been to a deacon's meeting. He's not been ordained, but just from heaven. Can I get an amen? And here's this man gets up on the scene, and he gets full of the Holy Ghost, and he starts preaching that you must repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here comes the church folk. They're going to come out and see what's going on. They want to know what's happening out there. Reminds me of another place I know of. Huh? Man, y'all ain't got I've heard this many times. Man, y'all ain't got a McDonald's out there. I said, I don't even think we got a zip code, do we? How many? Anyway, boy, it's been a long week, I can tell. But when he saw many of the Pharisees, but Tony, I got my joy back, man. Got my joy back. 12-year-old little boy excited to get in the water. Brother Mason, you can feel the energy off of him. That's what I want. That's what I want you to have, son. I don't want you to get weak and wet. That's what you'd have. That's why I have you up there watching. That's why I have you seeing them people get baptized. Because I said, hey, God will work and use that man. If a man be willing to mop up water, God will use him. That's just where he started you. That ain't where he's going to leave you. He sees his appearance arena he's in. Look what he said in verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, they was coming to his baptism. He was baptizing folks for the remission of sin. He called them out, and they've come out to see what was going on. And here's what he said. And he said unto them, can I help you? No. He didn't care who was in front of him. He preached that book. He preached the word. Here's what he said. "O generation of vipers," he said, "you snakes. You snakes." Now, he didn't get man of the year right there for that, Brother Cullen. And he didn't get the popularity vote for that right there. But he called it like it was supposed to be. And he said, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." You know what that told me is he looked right into them and he said, "You ain't even repenting. You holding the position, you got everything that you need, and you ain't even repenting and ask God to forgive you." Folks, tonight, I say this all the time. If you're in any leadership role at this church, any leadership role, I don't care what it is, the devil's after you 10 times harder than you'll ever know. He's wanting you. He's wanting to sift you. He's wanting to destroy you. Don't let him. Here's what he said tonight. I see that he had a call to announce. He was concerned to announce. He was courageous to announce. He said, "Jesus is coming." And my last point, Brother Hagin, is he was correct. If a man will always say, "Jesus is coming, get ready," he'll always be correct. If he ever lift up the name of Jesus, he's always correct. Heard a story about the little atheist in town. Little preacher boy got saved and started preaching. Didn't know a lot. And the little atheist man come out there and was going to trip him up. He said, "What scripture do you know?" He said, "Appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment." Next week, he seen a little guy again, and atheist asked him, "What scripture do you know this week?" He said, "Appointed a man wants to die, and then the judgment." Every week, he kept that on. Went very long, he come to that guy, and he said, "Can you tell me about that appointment?" See, he was steady in what he was doing. He didn't know a lot, but what he knew was true. It's appointed unto man wants to die, and then the judgment. I see he was courageous to announce, but I see he was correct. Verse number 13 is what I showed Sister a while ago. Look what he said. It's what the Lord showed me. The faithfulness of John the Baptist, he said he called, he was concerned, he was courageous, but he was correct. He told him, he said, "Jesus is coming. Make it straight. He's coming. Repent. He's coming. He's coming today." They didn't believe him. Look what he said in verse 13, Brother Hagin. "Then cometh Jesus." "Then comes Jesus." They all mad because he's told them the truth. And then here walks Jesus up on the scene. When you're told the truth, be ready. Jesus is right there beside you. Because anytime the truth is shared, he is the way, the truth, and the life. When you hear the truth, you have to do something with it. Because Jesus is right behind it. Look what he says here. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." I see tonight the faithfulness in the Word of God. I see the faithfulness of John the Baptist and how faithful he was. And my prayer to y'all is that you just remain faithful. Just remain faithful in what God's called you to do. Today I had to go measure that ramp. I didn't measure it, by the way. We wouldn't have the right measurement. Amen? So I called Brother Jared Knight. I got Brother Jared Knight. I said, "Meet me there. Help me measure it." He helped me measure it. See, I didn't get in his lane. I'm not a carpenter. Why get in his lane? That's his job. That's not my job. My job, found the need came, meet the need, get the man that's supposed to be there to do the job. He was in Sullivan anyway. Get out of people's way, run your lane, what you're supposed to do, and run it well. Be faithful in what you're called to do. You can be faithful in what God's called you to do. When you get concerned about it, you get courageous, you start standing with it. You can run that lane. You can run when he's put you in. But when you get over here and something you don't know nothing about is when you get in trouble. I want to brag on somebody. I don't usually brag on people around here very much. We had a bus that was empty. And when nobody was getting on it, man, we weren't getting on the bus. And I said, "No, 3 buses, that thing need to be running. Somebody get on that bus. Amen. If I got to go pick up Brother Hagin, Sister Natalie, and the baby, somebody get on that bus." And I called Sister April. And I said, "Sister April, you don't know no kids, do you?" And she said, "Brother BJ, I'll tell you what, I know some kids. I'm talking about some good kids." I said, "We don't care if it's good or not. We just want some. Bad, good, it don't matter. We don't want a van. We'll tell them the truth." She said, I do. I got somewhere you can go pick up." I said, "How many are you going to pick up?" She said, "I don't know. Let us be at Wolf Run waiting there." Someone pulled up first night, 15 piled on that van. I said, "Lord Jesus." Okay. I called her back. I told her, I said, "Thank you, sister." And it's been faithful. It's been faithful. It's been faithful. And then little Bentley gets saved. Get saved. Bus route. Bus route. That bus don't run because on free. It takes gas to run it, Miss Patsy. Y'all's faithfulness putting in the plate, puts gas in that van, goes pick these kids up. That's eternity. We just paid it, put it into the kingdom work. Kingdom work, man. Took this van to go tell them to repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, Brother Gary. I didn't know where the kids was. The Lord lays a staple on my heart. Do you know anywhere? She said, I know somewhere. And here's what I told them. It's right here. Just be faithful in going to pick them up. Tonight, Drake walked in. He walked up to me. And Drake's 11-year-old. Drake walked up to me. Done like it there. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I got a beef with you. I said, a beef with me? What's the beef about? He said, you changed routes tonight. You're supposed to have been my driver. Where was you at? Huh? So what does that mean? There's a relationship being built. That ain't only with me. That's all y'all in here. It's all y'all in here. All y'all in here. Why? Because you're staying faithful to what God's called you to do. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful in what God's called you to do. If he's called you to it, he'll put concern on your life to do it. He'll give you enough courage. And at the end of the day, you can say, that's correct. That come from God. In the morning, 8 o'clock, Friday morning, 8 o'clock, if you can be there, we'd appreciate your help. 8 o'clock Friday morning, going to build that ramp. Come on.